Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to The Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of The Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing the creative artist and political unity as solutions to our challenges.
Good morning. This is Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice. Welcome to our Blog Talk Radio show. We have a very special guest today, Director Xavier Picard, who you may know as one of the producers of the new hand-drawn animation feature, Moomins on the Riviera. Director Xavier Picard, how are you? You're calling from Paris, yes?
Yes, I'm Xavier Picard. I'm very happy to talk to you today. And just to say that I'm not only a co-producer of the movie, but I'm also the director.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I meant to make that clear. The film itself, and let's say that again too, Moomins on the Riviera, that you directed, is making its United States American premiere on Saturday, March 14th in New York City at the International Children's Film Festival. Is all that correct?
Yes, I'm very proud to attend to the premiere in New York next week. Yes.
Excellent.
Really, really very happy.
And of course, as you say, you will be there, yes?
Absolutely. I will attend the premiere, yes. Absolutely.
Excellent. Wonderful. So, you know, not all Americans are as familiar with Moomin's stories and the original comic strip. Can you tell us something about Tove Jansson's and how her original comic strip drawings inspired you and inspired the film?
Yes, you're absolutely right. You know, in fact, the Moomins are very well known in Scandinavia.
Yes.
In Finland, in Sweden, in Swedish, and maybe Denmark and Norway. Even in France, you know, we don't know really the Moomins. I had the chance to travel a lot, and especially in Japan, because I used to work with Jean Chalopin, the father of Inspector Gadget and Yuri 31. And at this time, I've been to Tokyo, and I found a lot of books about Moomins. So I was so happy to discover this style of Tove Jansson, because she's a great artist. She's able to, of course, to write the stories, that she has a beautiful drawings, a beautiful line in 2D animation. Of course, it's not at all, even if it's like a big creature like Hippo, the line is always in one, only one line.
Yes.
One character. And I fall in love with the Moomins maybe 25 years ago.
Wow. That's quite a love affair, 25 years. I understand that a quote of yours was that your ambition is to extend the work of Tove Jansson without betraying it, all the while keeping in mind her thought. And her thought, I believe the quote is, live in peace, plant potatoes, and dream. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, you're right. I didn't want to retrieve to the Jansson. I'm just a translator, because it's a fixed frame, a cartoon, a comic strip is a fixed frame.
Yes.
And I wanted to do animation. And I love what Tove Jansson said. It's a live in peace, plant potatoes and dream. You know, it's like, of course, live in peace, you can understand. Plant potatoes, it's a little bit different. In France, it's proche, it's very close to a French author, Voltaire, who wrote Candide. And Candide said, take care of your garden. And there is two sense.
Yes.
One direction is, of course, you can take care of your garden, your flowers, your potatoes and everything. But to take care of your own garden, your
yes.
interior garden, your
yes.
soul. And I love that. And dream, of course, dream. It's so important to have dreams.
Beautiful. Yes, Candide, yes. So, you know, as I was growing up as a child, here in America, we call, or we used to call animation cartoons. And as a child, I never really liked cartoons. But to compare Moomins on the Riviera to an American cartoon is really frivolous and silly and irrational. Moomins on the Riviera has many qualities that raise it above and make it so deserving. And there are, you know, Spielberg and others have navigated toward animation and making it an art of great quality. But you have Moomins on the Riviera has caught on in so many countries. And it is filled with life lessons, like finding joy in the little things in life. How does your film express some of those life lessons?
Yes, you're right. As you compare American cartoons and the movie Moomin on the Riviera, it's completely different.
Yes.
I didn't want to use some slapstick or some animation we have a lot of gag and humor. I wanted something very slow and very poetic, just to respect the sensibility of the original book. And so it's completely different, I think, than other cartoons, because on the screen you have just usually you have just one color.
Yes.
I mean that I use one main color, and after that I do some different, slightly different. But in fact, it's without perspective.
Uh-huh.
It has a lot of perspective. Everything is flat. You are just level, and you read level after level from the foreground to the background. And it was, for me, a big challenge to succeed to do it during all the movie.
Is that what you mean by a monochrome palette? Is that...
Absolutely, monochrome palette.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
And if you could, I know you've just really have explained what that is and how you used it in the film, Moomins on the Riviera, but I wonder if you can tell us a little technically, how does one create a monochrome palette, and a little more about, if you elaborate even a little more about why you chose that?
Yeah, in fact, for each sequence, I choose one color, and the color reflects the feeling of a character, of some character, depending on the situation. For instance, if you are in the Moomin Valley, every one of the Moomin family is well and live in peace, and it's quiet. So we have a kind of a red, very smooth color to express their feeling. And then when the family arrives in the Riviera, they are so happy, they are so excited. So I put a yellow color, a yellow color for the sky, a yellow color for the sea, everything was yellow, like in the earth, in fact. You understand what I mean?
Ah, beautiful. Painting with colors. Yes, absolutely. It's so exciting to talk with you, Xavier. I'm still so moved by, and I only saw the trailer, but moved by the what it's more than a subtext. It's life lessons. There's no better word for it. It helps us to understand one of the things from Moomin's on the Riviera. Seems to help us to understand what different cultures have in common, which I think is so important today because so many human beings are at odds with one another and at war with one another, either actually on the battlefield or in politics, a war of words. And one of the lessons of Moomin's on the Riviera is that it shows this this crisscross, if you will, this intersection of different cultures and how much these different cultures have in common. Is that an accurate claim for the movie?
You're absolutely right, and absolutely. I'm very happy you talked about this because the movies when they arrive in the Riviera, they are like fish out of water. You know?
Yes, yes.
So they met two different people. There are movie stars, some aristocratic people,
yes.
Some rich people, some poor people too.
Yes.
They mix up all together, and we can understand they are fully able to live all together. And I didn't want to have a message to give a message, but to just to propose to the audience some choice. You have to do choices.
Yes.
For example, in the pirate boat, you have two boxes. The first box is full of golden coins.
Yes.
And then there is a second box with tropical seeds. And Moomin Nana said, wow.
Yes.
For her.
Superb, yes.
Tropical seeds are much more important than golden coins. But for another person, it could be the contrary. Everyone is absolutely free to choose.
Yes.
What he wants.
Yes. And I think that, and as you say, that is the beauty of it. It's not driven and pushed as a heavy message film. I don't mean to imply that, but because you give us the choices, you let us see how much diversity and yet the commonality of those choices, and then the audience can take that in and digest and internalize, and then hopefully live their lives a little differently, perhaps contact their neighbors and old friends and new friends in a way that reflects that we do all inhabit this planet, and we somehow need to learn to share it a little more harmoniously. Maybe that's what I mean.
Absolutely, yes, yes. I agree with you. And another point is that we have the Baron, Marquis Mungaga.
Yes.
A rich, aristocratic guy, and he, in fact, he loves to sculpt elephant.
Yes.
In fact, and he decided to go with the family and to live on the beach and to quit his wonderful castle. But at the end,
yes,
a few days with the family, he understood that it was his life was not here with the Moomins. He respects the Moomin life, but for him, his life was in the aristocratic world. And it's interesting because sometimes people say, oui, Xavier, you have a judgment about rich people. I have absolutely no judgment about rich people. And if you look at the Marquis Mungaga, you can understand that he prefers to have his rich life than the bohemian life.
Yes. Well, we're going to take a short break. I want to remind everyone that I'm speaking with Xavier Picard from Paris. He's calling from Paris. He's the director as well as co-producer of Moomin's on the Riviera. We have much more to talk about in our second segment, so stay with us. We're going to talk about the characters and relationships and the actors who voice those characters, and we'll be right back with director Xavier Picard. Stay with us.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Allegedly, the footage in Exit Through the Gift Shop was shot by Thierry Guetta, a businessman with a fetish for his video camera. It was insightfully narrated by the secretive and celebrated street artist Banksy, whose face we never see. We say allegedly because there is some question as to who is the artist and who is the con artist. There have even been accusations of hoax. Banksy himself admits maybe art is a bit of a joke. The audience are the winners here. This Oscar-nominated documentary is a captivating introduction into the world of street artists. Their art reveals a rare kind of beauty bound fast to the hype that leads to commercial success. Banksy has apparently parlayed his street art into a fortune while remaining totally anonymous. Reportedly, he put together the film himself using Thierry's massively disorganized collection of tapes. Exit Through the Gift Shop is a look into what it calls the legal gray area of street art. It provides fascinating perspectives on the nature of art and its relationship to hype. The really fun part of this remarkable film is deciding which is which. Indie Film Minute, not in theaters, discovery through rental. Find us on the web at indiefilmminute.com.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with my guest, Xavier Picard, the co-producer and director of Moomin's on the Riviera. Xavier, are you there? Sorry.
Yes, I'm there, and I'm very happy to talk to you again.
Well, I feel the same way. We had a short break, but we're back, and I just want us to talk about the characters some now, and those great relationships. You know, the old cliche, it's not just the destination, it's the journey. I'm just wondering, that seems to be true with your film, Moomin's on the Riviera. There are things that happen even before they get to the Riviera, yes? Your movie, Moomin's on the Riviera, is about some very distinctive characters, all have their individualism and their relationships with one another, how they envy one another, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, that sort of thing. But also, they had some trouble in their journey to the Riviera, is that not true?
Yes, they have trouble during the journey. And you're right when you say that each character has different motivation, and he will change during all the movie. For example, Moomin, who is the main character, is very fragile.
Uh-huh.
He needs to learn how to say no.
He's
always saying to everyone, do you want to do that? Yes. Come with me to do that? Yes. And yes. And again, he said, I have to learn how to say no. And for Snork Maiden, it's different. And for Mama, it's another way, Mama.
Uh-huh.
He's just looking for fun. Papa, Moomin Papa, is an incredible character because he loves to have a party with friends and to discuss for all about the stories he had or not, because in fact he invents a lot of stories. And each character has his own journey. It's not only a journey from a point to another point, through a boat and through an island, to the island, to go to the river. It's a journey, an internal journey for each character.
Yes. And let's talk about it. Let's take them one at a time, if we could. I know that Schnorkmaiden, that's voiced by Stephanie Winicky. Her character is dazzled by the Playboy attentions. Is that that's such a great subplot? How did you come to that?
It was for me very important to have a second plot with a Schnorkmaiden about a jealousy, because Moomin doesn't really like the life in the Riviera. Schnorkmaiden loves that. She loves to go to the restaurant. She loves to buy some stuff in a beautiful shop called La Mode, La Mode, like a French shop. And of course, Clark in the Playboy would like to have an affair with Schnorkmaiden. Schnorkmaiden is very naive.
Yes.
She doesn't want really to cheat with Moomin, but she's so happy to have a lot of friends and a guy very interesting by her.
Mm.
So it's the reason I wanted to put this story, this kind of jealousy and distortion between two characters.
Yes, and she's not the only one. I mean, they all have such distinct characteristics, but Moomin, who is voiced by Russell Tovey, he's sort of, I think you mentioned this, he's caught between his comfortable, simple life, which he enjoys, but he loves Schnorkmaiden, and as you say, she desires this luxurious lifestyle of like a movie star. It's I don't know. I think there are many marriages and relationships that have to deal with this. So it's a universal story that we all have in common. Yes.
Yeah, it's a universal story, right? Because yes, Moomin would prefer a very simple life in the nature with the family, but to be present with Schnorkmaiden, he accepts go to the Riviera and
yes.
To go to not the casino but to the hotel, and for him it's not natural at all, you know. It's very difficult, and he's so jealous at the end that he would prefer to stay on the whole boat on the beach with her mother.
Yes,
you know, and up to a point, but I cannot tell all the story.
Exactly. But I think one thing we can say that might intrigue the audience even more, if they haven't been intrigued already, is a key conflict here seems to be that it's the first time the unity of the Moomins is threatened. Is that a nice sort of hook to pull people in, see what happens?
Yeah. It's the first time, yes, which is the family splits in different directions.
Mm.
And in fact, you have, in the real life, you have two couples. You have the couple of Moomin Mama and Moomin Papa.
Mm.
And you have the other one with the young people, Moomin and Schnorkmaiden. But in fact, as the family explodes, in fact, we have inside Moomin Mama and Moomin, who would prefer to have a simple life, and in the other hand, we have Moomin Papa and Schnorkmaiden, who love really the life in with the luxury and with a lot of movie stars and aristocratic people. So it was important for me and for the other writer to make this difference. Moomin Mama and Moomin in the side, and Moomin Papa and Schnorkmaiden in the other side.
Yes. Tell us, let's talk a little bit about the technical aspects of making this kind of movie. It's this animation is different. I must admit, I'm not I don't know
as much about making animation, but this is a unique process, the way Moomin's On the Riviera was filmed. Yes, I mean, it's hand-drawn animation technique. How is that different from, well, I guess it's different from, we assume everything is computer generated these days, but you made Moomin's On the Riviera with hand-drawn animation. Can you talk to us about that technique and how that makes it different?
Yes, you know, as you said, now a lot of movies, animation movies, are using CGI, computer graphics.
Yes.
But for me, it was an evidence, it was a conviction, it was really a feeling to do a movie on 2D animation. And not only a 2D animation, because as you know, you can do a 2D animation movie on a computer with a software, but for me it was important to draw all the movie with a pencil on a paper sheet.
Yes.
You know, right now I have around 1,500,000 drawings, original drawings from the movie.
Oh my goodness.
And it's much more interesting to do an on-board animation movie because you have the line, and the line is not exactly the same each time, and it's important. It's of course, after the animation done on paper sheets, we scan all these papers and we do the color on the computer. Because, you know, we use a software called Photoshop for the color, and we can do everything we want. It's impossible to make a difference between a real painting and the Photoshop composition. So at the end, it's the finalization of the movie, color and final compositing of each scene is done on a computer. But I'm so proud maybe to have done the last movie on drawn 2D animation.
Wow, that's so incredible. So then you take the paper drawings and you scan them for the film? Is that how it works?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. You do on paper and then you scan. And after that you forget completely the paper. I saved all the paper. I didn't want to destroy paper. So I keep them, and it will be possible to have some pieces of them if you want. And if the audience would like to order from someone, it's for free, it's just the shipment. But I think it's now a collector stuff.
Yes, I would imagine so, yes. So this is Moomin's On the Riviera is a Finnish-French co-production produced by Hannah Hemila, I hope I got her name correctly, at Handel Productions, and you, Xavier Picard, at, is it PicTech?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And how did this Finnish-French connection come about, and how did that work for the film?
Oh, you know, I know Hanna Hemina for a long time, and she's a great producer. She produced a movie for children, but not only. She was the executive producer of Aki Kaurismäki. About the movie Le Havre. Le Havre was in Cannes in Cannes Festival 2 years ago.
Yes.
And when, as you know, of course, the movies are Finnish drawings and Finnish art work. So she called me 5 years ago to say, you know, Xavier, it's possible to do a movie with a movie. And I was so enthusiastic. Mm. So I jumped into an aircraft just to have a meeting with Sophia Jansson. Sophia Jansson is the president of Moomin Characters.
Yes.
The owner of Azurite. And with Anna, it was our strategy was to propose something very creative.
Mm.
But a lot of different studios would like to produce an animation movie.
Yes.
But usually they wanted to do something in CGI or or to change completely the story. And with Anna, we decided very early to respect the story, to respect the character, and to propose something to the animation. And it was why Sofia Jansson decided to give us the right to do the movie.
Excellent. Well, it's quite a story. I mean, the and I'm not just talking about the film script itself, but the whole history of the Moomins and what you've done, and of course, where it started out as a comic strip. And now, on Saturday, March 14th, the U.S. premiere in New York City at the International Children's Film Festival. How you must be quite pleased with that.
Yes, for me, you know, it's very important for me to be there, because for me, I love American movie, and it's a wonderful industry, and there are a lot of animation, excellent and wonderful animation. So for me, it's really a no-no to go to New York to just present my movie, because it's like if my movie can exist a little bit in the USA,
yes.
I would be so happy.
Yes, it's really quite, and I'm only assuming that most Americans are like me. I could be wrong. As a matter of fact, my wife is a big fan of Moomins on the Riviera. She's a big fan of the Moomins anyway. And when I mentioned I was going to be talking to you, she produced these gifts that relatives have sent her from all over the world, you know, the Far East, the Near East, and so it may just be that in America we need this a little more push to recognize and understand and appreciate the Moomins on the Riviera. And now that it's coming here in its U.S. premiere on March 14th, I guess children of all ages are going to learn a great appreciation for your work, for Tove Janssen's work, for the work of the actors that voice it, and of course Hannah as well. It's really exciting. I'm just preparing for this interview. I learned so much about Moomins that I didn't know. And it's far superior in every way. I'm just so happy. I guess I should gush a little less and say more about how people can go, of course, to www.moominsontheriviera.com. That's MOOMINS on the Riviera.com, and of course you can Google Moomins, and you will get information on the U.S. premiere. Again, it's Saturday, March 14th in New York City at the International Children's Film Festival. You know, I don't know the time. When does it begin? Do you know, Xavier?
No, I don't know exactly what time is it now.
I couldn't find that either, but I guess we'll find out between now and the 14th, so we show up on time.
Okay, great.
Well, is there anything before we go that you wish us to know that we haven't discussed, or something something more about the film, or your feelings about? I know you have a strong homage, if you will, for its original creator, Tove Janssen, and tell us a little more about that, or whatever final comments you wish to make.
About Tove Janssen, you know, I will hope that the U.S. audience will love the movie, and from the movie they would like to discover the artwork of Tove Janssen, and also to read her books, because she wrote different books, comic strip, but not only comic strip, but novels.
Yes.
And if the movie can help to the can suggest to the people
sure.
to read and discover the art book of Tuveyatso, and I will be so happy.
Well, I can tell you that at least one American has already succumbed to that, because I've gone in 24 hours. I've gone from not really, I mean, I knew of Moomin's existed, but I had never really been involved in pursuing knowing more or reading. And now, as I said in preparing for this conversation with you, I have. I've got immersed, and I can't wait to see the full film. It is feature length. It is animation at its best, I believe. This unique, you definitely see, even from the trailer, the distinction between computer-generated and hand-drawn animation. And I've been talking to its director, Xavier Picard, who's also a co-producer, with his longtime friend Hannah, yes, Hamila, and Xavier, I'm just so impressed with your work and with Moomin's On the Riviera, and I'm so wishing you all the very best and everyone associated with the film, especially in its American premiere on the 14th of March. Thank you so very much for being with us today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and see you next week for the U.S.
podcast. You got it. We'll be looking forward to it. Bye now. Okay. Au revoir.
Bye now. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye now.
Okay, Martin. Bye-bye.
Stay with us, as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. J.C. Chandler burst into the indie world with a remarkably polished Margin Call, a complex story of financial chicanery within a brokerage firm on the verge of collapse. With a large and accomplished cast, it told a story of visionary complexity within a world of greed and depravity. Chandor's second film could not be more different. All Is Lost is simple. It has only one star, Robert Redford, a boat, a shipping container, a large lonely ocean, and no dialogue. Redford's character is Our Man and bears no other name. He's a strong man, a master sailor, navigating the Indian Ocean alone when he has a chance encounter that punctures a hole in the side of his boat. The rest of the film is the story of Our Man's resourceful and determined fight for survival, battling stormy seas that test wounded ship and sailor alike. Will he live or die? Chandor leaves his audiences with much to ponder. All Is Lost is a significant achievement for both its fearless young writer-director and for Robert Redford, one of the great film actors of our time. When you see his accomplishment here, you will wonder if anyone else could have carried this extraordinary load. All Is Lost. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Find us on the web at indiefilmminute.com.
Beating the Memory Lane Crowd. Now that turkeys shop before Black Friday, it's not surprising that some media personality shows are rushing into 2013 year-end memories before it's even Christmas Eve. Most of us know memories recapture us and replay in the twinkling of an eye, an aromatic breeze, a squeeze of the shoulder, or in the moment of that burned taste after a fire. Faster than a mouse-clicked link, you're back to that owl in the woods. First kiss, wedding day, first shared Christmas tree, or moment of silence. Memories take us back to rain on a tin roof, our car driving us the long way home, an uncle's cackle, fireplace crackling, an aunt's snowing smile, grandma's special homemade icing, barking dogs, parents independently slipping a few 20s into your palm, and there you are, back at the beginning of the roller coaster ride, inhaling all of a teenager's unknowns, smelling the sweets before tasting the bitter, the sound of the wind and the chilly feel of snow in our face, blowing hair backwards and propelling dreams forward. Imagine Utah, Colorado, and Virginia easing toward cuddling up to justice and equality for all, despite some being drag-queened forward, kicking and screaming in their red boots. When friends share memories with me, I remember who, what, and why I celebrate in life. Mostly, it's lifelong friends, Lance and Pamela, Mercedes McCambridge, or newcomers, Boomy, Bill, Daniel, and Michelle. Chance meetings on the streets of New York City, like hailing a cab for Carol Channing. A chatty stroll with Colleen Dewhurst, James Whitmore, and Tommy Toon. A gracious nod from passing Glenn Close and Tony Randall. Quite literally, running into Nathan Lane and Jack Lemmon. Jane Alexander's thank you, an answered note from Julie Harris, telephone chats with Celeste Holm, book signing with Pavarotti, supervising Juilliard students during an invited-only rehearsal of Placido Domingo's Met conducting debut, and a moment backstage at Ford's Theatre with Rosalind Russell. The point is not name-dropping, or tears during Oscar night memorials, or even how much I miss Peter O'Toole, who I never met, or Mom, who I'll never forget. The point is, every moment is a memory in the making, and every one a reason for celebration, and 'tis the season every day, in every way.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of The Reasonable Voice. Voice.com website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard around the world.